Good morning, everybody. Thank you. My name is Wes Robbie, and I get to say welcome also to all of you. You know, if you're a first-time person here today, like my brother-in-law, Dan, say hi, Dan. Welcome. And also, if you've been coming for a long, long time, you're welcome to be here. We're glad to have you. Thank you for being here today. I've got just a couple of announcements. For children of all ages, there's an event taking place today over at Camp Corey, and that is going to the Corn Maze. And if you want to take part in that, the group is meeting in front of the fellowship hall at 1 o'clock, and then we'll caravan over there together. And if you go with the group, you get the group discount. Or let's say you live in Carnation or somewhere like that and you don't want to drive all the way up here, then just be there at Camp Corey at 1:30 and join the group. Also, I want to talk about a newcomer's class. If you are thinking about joining the church, or let's just say you're new and you want to learn more about the church, a newcomer's class, there's one on November 6th and one on November 13th. And it's a two-week deal. And it takes place during the third service, again, over in the fellowship hall. And if in your bulletin there's a card like this, and it has a place where you can say whether you're coming or not to that class. And please fill it out and put it in the basket in the back so they'll know how much coffee and how many donuts to have and so on. Okay? Now, it's my privilege this morning to also talk a little bit about a ministry that's close to my heart that started here in this church about a year and a half ago. It's called Fruit Bearers. It's based on a couple of verses. You know, one of the verses we use a lot in this church is John 10:10. And it talks about the war that we've been born into. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I, meaning Jesus, have come that you might have life and have it to the full. And we really believe that. Fruit bearers is based on John 15:8. When you bear much fruit, you bring glory to my Father, and you prove to be my disciples. We believe that bearing fruit is doing any good work in the name of Christ. And I want to show you just a couple things this morning. You know, God knows what's going on. Whether it's here in Duval or in the mountains of Negros, Oriental Philippines, where we work, the fruit bearers, God knows. And He knows the families and the people that are crying out for help. We found some children way up in the mountains in a community that we had never been to before, where there seemed to be an inordinate number of kids with cleft lips and cleft palates in this community. And actually, it was almost a miracle that we ended up there. A stranger came up to me at my hotel when I was in the Philippines and said, "I understand that you've got a foundation that helps children." I said, "Yes." And he says, "Well, I'd like you to go up into the mountains with me, because I know where there's a bunch of kids that need help." Well, I don't go up into the mountains of the Philippines with strangers. It's not a good idea. So I really prayed about it, and the Lord showed me in a miraculous way that yes, it was okay to go. So we did. My staff and I, we went up there, and these are a few of the kids we found. Geki up in the left-hand corner, Hernimi, and you can see what the enemy was, how he's trying to steal their life, and Rolando. We were able to get them some help. And these after pictures were taken right after. They still have bandages on. And you can already see the change and how these kids are going to get a life back. And, I mean, just look at Hernimi. What a cute little girl she is. And there's one more I want to talk about a little bit more. Ramil. Take a good look at Ramil. Take it not only at his lip, but at his eyes, too. And how sad they look and so on. Well, now take a good look at Ramil. This was just shortly after he had his surgery. I want to read something that my staff over there sent about Ramil. You know, every boy, whether he's in Duval or in Mabinay, up in the mountains in the Philippines, has the same desires and so on. Ramil comes from a family of 11, two parents and nine siblings. He's the only one of his in his family with that condition. His family, they're small-scale farmers. There's no way, no way in the world they could have ever afforded that surgery. But because of fruit bearers and the support of a lot of people here today, it happened. But I want to read this. At this point, as a junior in high school, something has really motivated Ramil to have the surgery very soon because he wanted to be like the rest of the boys to look good for the junior-senior prom in February. He knew he had enough time to recover from the surgery before his most awaited event in his high school life, perhaps to make the first dance with the lucky girl. Isn't that touching? And let me say something else. You know, when a bunch of kids are in a school up in the mountains like this, and they disappear for a week or 10 days, and they come back looking like that, the word sweeps through the community. Unbelievable. And it opens the door then for our chaplains to come in and have Bible studies and present the Word of God. And that's what's happening. And if you would like to know more about fruit bearers and what we're doing, we have a special event coming up on November 9th. Oh, I skipped a slide. I've got to slow down. The mission that God gave us for fruit bearers was this, in addition to the kids we already knew about. He told me one day, he said, "You don't know how many kids are still up in those mountains, but I do. Now go find them and show them my love." And so that's what we are doing. That's what Fruit Bearers does. And we go where nobody else is going. We have no competition up there from other nonprofits looking for these kids. Here's our event. We are having an event on a dessert on November 19th at 7 p.m. It will take place down at the Old Duval Church in the sanctuary. And we would like to invite you to come. We must have your RSVP because we have limited seating. And also, there's probably not enough room for children because of the limited seating. But we would love to have you come. That's my email address. Also, if you've got one of these directories, Judy and I are on page 10. And the email is in there. Phone numbers are in there. If you don't have one of these, you should get one. They're in the back of the church. And so please let us know if you can come. We would love to have you. That's a Saturday night, November 19th. And we will be giving more stories and more information about fruit bearers. Some people have already offered to pay for the dessert, so there's no charge. We would, however, if there's anybody would like to sponsor a table, we could use a couple more sponsors. And it's $300 per table. And then you can invite your friends at no charge to come and hear about fruit bearers. So let me know after the service if you have the desire even to come or to sponsor a table. And thank you very much for listening.
Oh, come on. You wanted to see him kiss. Let's pray. Lord, we just invite you into this morning. God, would you awaken our hearts this morning, Lord? There's something about romance that should touch our hearts for you. There's something about it, God. Would you enter into the discussion this morning, Lord? We gather because of you. We gather to talk about you, to consider you, Lord, but then to engage in a relationship with you, Lord. So we invite you in, God. We're here for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. My name's Jeff. Glad to have you guys here this morning. Let's talk about romance for a little bit. The guys are kind of shifting in their seats. And just start off, you know, this clip, as you guys were watching that, you know, was there anything going on inside, thoughts? What were you thinking? What were you feeling? We're going to be engaging quite a bit here. You guys are going to be able to give a lot of input this message, so feel free to just shout out. It doesn't have to be serious, but I'm looking for something deeper than from the guys than, wasn't that the chick from Pirates of the Caribbean? So, come on. Tell him yes, instead of your hands are cold. Any other thoughts? Any thoughts? Risky. Risky? Yeah, what was risky? Why do you say that?
Love you.
Yeah, he didn't know where she was at. Pride and Prejudice. I just discovered this movie this year. I watched the five-hour version first, which is a different by BBC, and it was awesome, actually. Even my little kids were into it at the end. They went in kicking and, you know, squealing, but they got into it, into the storyline of it, because it touches something in our hearts. When you're in love, deep in love, and I'm not talking about just infatuation, but you come to a place where this clip kind of gives us a picture of where two people realize that they totally love each other, who each other are. The whole movie is filled with tension between these two people. And there's this, I think I love him, but what about this? And there's all this tension, and that's kind of the point where, okay, I'm in love, and he loves me, I love him. What part of you is operating when that happens, when you're in that place? Is it your heart? Is that the part of you that you bring to a relationship of being deeply in love? Yes. Okay, so it's your heart. Is there any other aspects of your being that are engaging in that? Your spirit? Your brain? Yeah. Your mind? Your body? Yep. What? I don't want to know. Okay. The peanut gallery here in the front. Yes. Yes. Heart, soul, mind, strength. Does that sound familiar? Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? And what did he reply? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. There's something connected here, isn't there, to how God calls us to love him. I mean, that's the closest thing I can get to in my own life to how God wants to be loved by us is in a romantic relationship. Because that's the setting that I can see that I have engaged all of those. So, I have a little illustration here for you. See if I can pull this off. Heart, soul, mind, and strength. I want us to continue through this message this morning, engaging heart, soul, mind, and strength. Sky's smiling. Okay, so if your experience with God, simple illustration, if your experience with God is just engaging your mind, for example, okay? So you come, maybe on Sunday morning, maybe when you're reading your Bible at home, and you're just engaging your mind and you're experiencing God at some level, right? Because your mind is a part of you. But if you throw your heart in there, okay, now you're engaging your heart and your mind, right? And what if you bring your soul into it? Okay? And strength represented by my hands, because I can't juggle four balls. All right? Give me a break. So now you're experiencing God at a totally different level. Okay? Now I'll see if I can do one behind my back. Hey! Whew, two in a row. I got one more service to try and do that. Okay, just a visual picture, but keep that in your mind, in your heart, in your soul. As we move forward, we're in a series called I Am, and we're looking into some of, not all of, but some of the statements that God makes about himself. Jesus makes some statements that I am blank. You know, you've seen the bumper stickers. Jesus is blank or whatever. So what we want to do is look into one of the most fundamental statements that he says. I mean, fundamental to your relationship with God. The starting point. Did anybody eat bread this morning? How many people had bread this morning? Okay, how many people had bread this week? Okay, just about every hand. Probably some of you have allergies to bread, so you didn't have bread for that reason. But bread is essential. This is my daughter Lydia when she was little. And some girls played with Barbies, but she walked around with a loaf of bread all the time. No. In Albania, where my family lived for a while, bread was essential. This is Eastern Europe. And bread was delivered in these trucks every day to these little stores. There's stores everywhere. Just these little duchans, they're called. And little kids, my wife would watch, the little kids in the neighborhood would get their coin and they'd go down and they'd come in and they couldn't see on the counter and they'd slap it down on the counter and then they'd slide in the bread and they'd take it home and they'd, you know, they're that big, you know, and they're holding the bread. And she saw a kid one time walking back and he's like, takes a bite out of the loaf. Bread is just essential. Some of you are familiar with European cultures. Some of you are from Europe. And you understand that bread, when you talk about food, bread is included. Albanian word for bread is buk. And they use it interchangeably. Do you want to come over and have bread? They'll use that word. We're going to eat a meal now. We're going to eat bread together. Okay, so it's interchangeable. The meaning of food is bread. So the story we're going to look at today is in John chapter 6. And let's set the stage a little bit. Jesus has just fed 5,000 people with five little barley loaves, it says. And these are people who had come to listen to him. And we're not talking about him, you know, ripping off, you know, some pieces and everybody had. It says he distributed out to them as much as they wanted. So I would have probably wanted like a couple loaves of this bread because it said they're small loaves, right? I mean, was the bread warm? He's making it right there. Is it fresh? Is it really good, like the wine that he made at the wedding? And then just think about, okay, juggling here. This signifies heart, soul, mind, strength. Think about this story engaging all of those. What was it like for 5,000 people? You're one of the 5,000 and you're watching this happen. You're watching all these people around you. You're watching Jesus and his disciples. What was going on? Don't you think there are some people just like laughing? Like, what in the world? Look at this guy. No, he's still going. Dude, look. He's still passing them out. He's all the way. He's passed out to like half the people. And he's still going. And then some people are just like. And then other people were probably weeping at what they were seeing. Right? Just overwhelmed. They probably passed on the bread even. Just, I can't receive from you. This is too much for me. So this happens. This crowd, the disciples head across the water. Jesus, they want to make him king after this miracle. And Jesus, runs off into the mountains to get away from him. He's like, that's not my plan to be made king right now. And so the next day, the people discover, well, the disciples went off. They only had one boat, and they left. And Jesus didn't go with them. We need to go try and find Jesus. So they head off across the water. Well, Jesus met up with his disciples on the water, right? He walks across the water and meets up with them, freaks them out. And they let him in. And it's interesting in John, just a side note, when I was reading it last night, this stood out to me, but it says, as soon as he said who he was, they let him in, and immediately they arrived where they were headed. As soon as they let him into the boat. I didn't have time to look at all the different gospels and how they word that, but I just thought that was like, wow, immediately. So they get to the other side and they find Jesus there, and this is where we're going to begin our discussion on Jesus, the bread of life. So when they found him, this crowd that he'd fed on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, you are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to an eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. Okay, so these people, they call him Rabbi, but interesting point, when you call somebody a rabbi, that means they're your teacher, right? But these people weren't willing to be taught by Jesus, because this teaching that he talks about being the bread of life, in the end, they say, who can accept this? We can't accept this. And a lot of them leave after he brings this up. But he's not rebuking them. He's not rebuking them because they came to him because he did a miracle. He's not saying, oh, what, I do miracles and you show up? No, he's rebuking them because they showed up because they wanted their stomachs filled. They didn't show up and go, you just filled all our stomachs, but who cares about that? Who in the world are you? There must be more. But they were wrapped up in this, you know, that's, to them, that's what most of what they work for, right? Is to feed themselves. And this guy, hey, this is good news. This guy can just, we can hang out with him, and when we're hungry, you know, he takes some fish and just starts breaking them in half and throwing them out to us, and this is great. But they weren't recognizing the larger story that God was revealing through the miracle. So they asked him, what miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, from now on, give us this bread. They want that bread. And Jesus makes them an offer. And he makes the same offer to us. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never be thirsty. Now, I don't claim to understand fully what Jesus means by never. I know that one sense of that is the eternal life that we're gonna look at here in a minute that comes through him as the bread of life. But there is, with bread, with food, there's a daily consumption of that, right? How many here have ever eaten bread, you know, just, you know, bread like we have, and gotten life out of that? Who's ever, raise your hand if you have. Randy was here first service. Okay. Okay, I would make the statement that anybody who's ever eaten bread has gotten life from bread. Right? Because your body turns that into what it needs to turn it into to keep your body alive. Right? Keep the machine functioning. But what happens, you have to keep eating it. I mean, what happened with the manna that God created and brought down to the Israelites in the desert and gave them during that time in the desert when they needed that food? They'd collect it, they'd eat it, but they had to collect it the next day and eat it, and they had to keep, just like the food we eat, they had to keep feeding on that to stay alive. But this bread that Jesus is talking about is like a new bread. It's different. Keep reading a little bit more in this story. But as I told you, you have seen me and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. That's comforting. for I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. John 6, this chapter, talks a lot about the connection of Jesus with his Father and how Jesus is here to do the will of the Father. He's connected with him. We even read that he gets his life from the Father. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. There's some big stuff here, isn't there? I mean, I don't know how many times I'm guilty of this. You know, my wife, Star. Oh, Star, it was really cool. I read John 6 today. Oh, cool, what was it talking about? Oh, the bread of life is really cool, yeah. It's really good stuff. But are we engaging all of who we are and what we're and what God is revealing in his word? He who feeds on this bread will live forever. The one who feeds on me will live because of me. Okay? So the one who feeds on Christ is going to live. I don't know about you guys, but I know that having come to the Lord, so there's this eternal life that Jesus is drawing this picture of. There's still a revealing that's coming to these people that he's talking to. But we now live in the revelation of that, in the fullness of that, that Jesus came. We were in a sinful state, right, before God. And God said, I want you. He's romancing us to himself, but he said, I'm a just God. And you guys have chosen a way of sin. I want to make a way for you to come to me. Okay, so Jesus is willing. He comes to do the will of the Father, which is to pay that sin. He dies. The sacrifice for our sins, the wages of sin is death. And he pays that for us, and now we can come and feed on that sacrifice, on what God has done for us through Jesus, and we receive that eternal life. But does it end there, this concept of Jesus as the bread of life? If we've come to him, if we've received that sacrifice, is that it? And then we move on. Would you say that you each day experience life like God's revealing here? He who feeds on this bread will live forever. The one who feeds on me will live because of me. Are you experiencing life in your walk with God? Real life, like you're eating bread from God every day. I can't say that I am, but I can say that as I dig more into what God's saying here, I want to. Okay, so question is, how do we feed on the bread of life? And just looking a little bit more at what that means. There's a concept of abiding in Christ. John, again in John 15:5, Jesus talks about being the vine, right? And he says, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And there's a concept there of, you know, why did Jesus use bread as an example? You know, why didn't he use popcorn or lettuce or, you know, silly, but he uses the one staple food that even the poor, if they could gather nothing else together to eat, they're gonna find some bread, hopefully. Right? That's the staple for them. So there's this abiding in Christ. There's this being in the vine as well that Jesus goes on to expound on this concept. But how much of that do we do? That abiding in him and that his life then coming out of us as we live our lives. Sometimes I feel like I'm doing pretty good with that. But I'm going to share a little bit later how God kind of shedded some light on that, about where I was at with that. Some other concepts to look at with how do we feed. Jesus lays it out here in two different statements. First one is, then Jesus declared, going back to 6:35, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. So feeding on him. You know, he talks about feeding on him. We just looked at that verse. Coming to him is feeding on him. Believing in him is feeding on him. You know, that's initially for eternal life, but then that's a walk with God. That's that romance relationship with him where you're engaging heart, soul, mind, strength, and walking with him, looking to him for decisions and the things that you're facing, and then following him, coming to him, believing what he says, acting upon it. That comes from the Father as well. Jesus says, it is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. So there is a drawing that's going on that the Father is doing in the world to each one of us, drawing us to come to Jesus. Why? Because there's life there, and that's what he wants for us, right? So all of us are experiencing at some level God trying to teach us. And so feeding on Jesus involves whether we're going to be engaging in these activities, listening, learning, and coming. And that's where the ball's in our court. Okay? Jesus is drawing each one of us. Each one of us, you know right now in your heart the areas where God is drawing you. And there's a step that you need to take if you want to go deeper. And if you want to feed on Jesus, the bread of life. Okay? So I want to just share a little bit of, maybe just to help you with a picture of what this has looked like. For me, recently at the men's retreat that we had, about a month ago, the subject was Fathered by God, and I had a burning question going into the retreat that I wanted to ask God that I've asked him in the past and haven't felt like I've received the depth of an answer that I can engage in, do this, and things are going to be better. But it had to do with my own fathering and areas where I felt like I was falling short, felt like I was not reflecting to my children God's character fully, and I wanted to. I want them at this early stage of their lives to experience me, and this, you know, that's a tall order to fill, and never be perfect in that, but to experience me and say, I have a picture, I have an idea of what God's like because of how I'm fathering. Well, I'm falling short of that, and I'm like, God, in this area, could you just give me some kind of a system that I can implore to do this better? And his response to me, we went out on these times just listening to God, and thought immediately came to me when I asked the question. I feel like it was God bringing my attention to something. And the first thing I heard from him was, stop looking to your kids to meet your needs. And I kind of flinched at first because I was hoping for the warm, fuzzy, you're doing okay, Jeff. You're doing great. Just keep walking with me, and you're a great father. And then I'm like, well, what do you mean, God? And then he says, stop looking to your wife to meet your needs. Stop looking to circumstances to meet your needs. Stop looking to how things are going to go in the day and what you're going to do with your spare time to meet your needs. And he started to reveal to me all these areas where I was going that were ruining my appetite for him. Because I was looking to these areas to feed my heart, feed my soul, feed my mind. And I wasn't bringing my first appetite to God. Now, as the weekend went on, he switched that. He kind of turned that phrasing as I spent time with him to come to me for life. After he got it through my thick head, stop looking at all these things to meet your needs, he said, now come to me for life. Come to me for life. And that weekend, I started just putting that into practice right then. I mean, I go into retreats and I have my ideas of, oh, there's a free time here and I'm going to do this and this is what I want to do. And I stopped looking to that for life. And I'm like, yeah, that'd be fun. I think I'm going to plan on doing that, but I'm just going to go with God and trust that whatever he has for me today is life. And then something that got interrupted by an awesome conversation with another guy. And it's like, you know, instead of being irritated by what I lost, you know, the life that I lost that I was looking for there, I let God be the bread and bring the life through me and how he wanted to put that day together in my walk with him that day. So that was one of my experiences, but the overall feeling that I had, just to talk to the feeling level of who we are, was I had butterflies in my stomach that weekend because I was in love with God. There was this weight taken off of how am I going to get life, you know, that when you're hungry, you don't care about anything but getting some food, right? That was gone. It was like the table's already set. Okay? The table has been set by God. There's a rest in that. And I know that if I go to that table, which is Jesus, there'll be food there for me. And I can trust that. So I just want to have a little bit of time for us to really spend with God and talking about this a little bit more with Him and in our own hearts. A couple questions. Where am I looking for life currently? Maybe you guys can answer that question for yourselves with just listening to your own heart, listening to God, inviting Him in to shed some light on that as well. It's not if you go to guilt and condemnation, it's not God. If you go to a place of God bringing up and revealing areas, it's like with my own kids, if all they eat is junk food before dinner, and they got this wholesome meal that their mom's making for them, it's not. I'm not being mean by pointing that out to them. Hey, put the gummy worms down. They're going to ruin your appetite, and later you're going to have the shakes, and you're not going to be able to take part in the activities that we're going to do that are fun. You need the meal, and dessert will come. Okay? So don't go to guilt and condemnation with this. Let God lead you to His table. Okay? Another really way of looking at that, what would it take for me to fall completely in love with God instead of the other sources that we go to? What did it take if you've fallen in love in your life at some point, even if it was in third grade? I had a few of those that never came of anything. What did it take in those relationships, What touched your heart in that? What would it take to look to God to meet that need for love? We're going to listen to a song while we just take these questions before God. Thank you, Lord, that there is a relationship far deeper than we understand available with you. And so, and just my prayer is that every heart in this room, regardless of where they're at in their walk with you, their level of intimacy with you, God, would find a new level of that intimacy through your message to us, that you are our bread, that you are life to us, Lord. To do that work in our hearts this week and the rest of our lives, God, continue to walk us deeper into understanding that and experiencing you. In Jesus' name, amen. Just a thought came to me during that song. You know, if you may be here this morning and you haven't made that first decision of bringing your appetite to God and experiencing the eternal life that he wants to bring you in a relationship with him. If you're in that place and you're just ready to crawl out of your skin because you know that God is speaking to you, most all of us have been in that same place. I want to invite you after the service. I'll be up here in the front if you want to come talk to me about that. I'd love to have a conversation with you. Also, I'd like to invite Jonathan, Kim, the Kobayashis to come up here, and we're just going to pray for them and send them out as they head out on a little journey tomorrow to a faraway land. And grab one of these, hopefully. That'll work. Yeah, why don't you guys just come together and share about what's going on.
Ethiopia Baptist Crusade has invited them to come and visit. And so what would you mean?
The capital city tomorrow for 2 weeks on a scouting trip. They had requested two things. One is children's ministry training, and another one is a college student leadership training. So one of the purposes on this trip is for us to lay the groundwork for those two training centers. And as early as next year, 2012, I will be taking some of you from here, from an adventure to Ethiopia for a series of trainings. At the same time, we will be exploring possibilities for youth mission trip from adventure, as well as a men's boot camp, women's captivating conference to be held in Ethiopia, hopefully sometime in the next year or two. So we'll be looking for various opportunities with the Ethiopia Campus Crusade as well as local churches in the capital city. So we would definitely appreciate your prayers for the next 2 weeks. Having said that, one of the things that, like Jeff was saying, God has been showing us is just repeatedly walk with me, find sufficiency in me. So actually, more than anything else, I would covet your prayer that our eyes and ears are open and tuned to the Lord's leading for the next 2 weeks. On the home front, we're going to leave our children in very competent hands, so we're not worried about the kids. But also, I would like to ask for Kim's mom. She has been in pain for many, many years from the bad back. And just within the last couple weeks, part of it feels spiritual battle, but her condition has worsened. And she's been almost incoherent because of medication and all of that. And we're hoping that she will be hospitalized, actually. But that puts a lot of emotional burden on Kim as we're leaving tomorrow. But at the same time, she may be in the hospital for medical reasons. So her name is Shirley, and if you could also keep Shirley in your prayers.
Okay, let's pray for him right now. If you guys feel led, if you want to, you can just extend your hands. Let's just cover these guys in prayer. Lord, we do just lift up Jonathan and Kim as they head out, God, on this mission, following you, Lord, and what you're putting together there. And we all just agree and ask that your Spirit would give wisdom to them as they're there. Just give them eyes to see what connections you're making what areas you want, what places you want to bring your impact through them and through the ministry that they're leading. Father, would you do that? Would you cover them completely? We ask for your protection and covering over their family here as well, God. And would you bring a settling peace to their hearts for Kinsmore and Shirley? We just pray, Lord, that they would be able to entrust her to you, God. And also, would you touch her body and bring healing there, God? Just let your life be evident in everything that they're doing as they head out tomorrow, as they're there, that people would see them in Ethiopia, and they would see you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You guys have a great Sunday. Hey, can you turn me on real quick? Hey, thank you. Just a reminder, if you've come prepared to give this morning, the offering, the way we do that is a basket in the back. And you can just drop that in the back on your way out. Thank you.